one of those. It's the lion of Africa, I guess, we like to say. And we're very glad to have a prominent representative of the church in Nigeria with us this week. And thankful for those who've spoken representing ministries from other countries, South Africa and Ghana. But today we have Brother Peter Sunde Egure with us. He's an elder in the Church of Christ in Kado, Abuja, Nigeria. Abuja is the capital of Nigeria. He's the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the Churches of Christ in Nigeria. This is required in most countries of Africa that the church is registered with the government, and there has to be some responsible leaders in charge of that, and he's the chairman of that board. Chairman of the governing board of West Nigeria Christian College as well. And I'm not going to read his whole list of things, but he's prominent, having worked in the government of Nigeria. Let's see if I can get the correct one on that. Brother, would you tell us when you get up here what your actual role was? Because he is a lawyer and worked in a very high position in the government of Nigeria. I believe you're retired from that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes. He's also on the continuation committee of the Africans Claiming Africa movement that was begun 25 years or so ago. And so he's on that continuation committee, along with me as well. So we're very glad that Brother Egure and his wife, Comfort, are with us. And we'll give the rest of the time to you, Brother, but we'd like to ask Brother John Esso to lead a prayer before we begin.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless your name. We glorify you and honor you. You've given us such a wonderful opportunity. Today we are here to listen to what you are doing in Africa. We thank you for the men and the women you've given us. And we pray for our brother as he tells us what you have done. May you be glorified and may we be encouraged even to do more for you. Thank you for everything in Jesus' name.
Amen. Welcome, Brother Peter.
Thank you. Good morning, my fellow. First and foremost, I want to thank God Almighty for the privilege of living and for the opportunity and this making it possible for my wife, Comfort, and I to be able to make it to Pepperdine University in this Bible lectures for the first time. As you heard, Brother Sam, I have served in government in Nigeria in a very sensitive organ. I worked in the security aspect of Nigeria called the Department of State Security. I retired from there as a national director. And in that position, I was the number two in the hierarchy in the whole country. And working in that capacity, I saw a lot what human beings can do when you have power. It is the mundane power. And then after I've served out my years of service, I had all the time in the world now to devote to my Creator. And so I have made up my mind long ago that for the rest of my life, anything that will further the cause of Christ, that is where you will find me.
Yes.
Amen. So, the topic we are to share together, what God is doing in Africa, with specific reference to Nigeria, I might not be able to exhaust within the time allotted to me, and I will crave your indulgence. Maybe your expectations will be so high, but I just make do with what we are able to offer. So, the lecture now. Sorry.
The kingdom of heaven, as we all know, can be likened to a mustard seed. When, as you know, a mustard seed is a very small seed. But when it germinates and grows and becomes a full-blown tree, it's massive. And birds, human beings, take refuge under it, and the birds perch on it. That is exactly what happened in Nigeria. So many years back, about almost 70 years ago, the Lost Church was not known in our own clime. But it took a vessel known as CAOSN that had the gospel. And how did he hear it? He was having a correspondence course with the Lawrence Avenue Church of Christ in Nashville, in the U.S. And that is how he came in contact with the Church of Christ. And he did a lot to see how the church can be planted all over his immediate environment. The church was found in a place called Ose in Akwa Ibom of Nigeria. This is the vessel that God used to bring the gospel to our country, Nigeria. And as I've already said, you see that the search for the truth of the gospel led him to several denominations until he came in contact with the Bible Correspondent Minister of the Lawrence Church of Christ, Lawrence Avenue Church of Christ in Nashville, USA. This was all through the gospel back in our shores, and the growth has been unbelievably phenomenal. Essence determination to go places with the truth. Hear what he said. We can teach our people, but we need teaching ourselves. Send us men to teach us, and we shall take Nigeria for the truth. This was his mantra. And so the Lawrence Avenue Church of Christ response to the Macedonian call was that churches in America started supporting churches in Nigeria and other developing countries for the growth of the Lost Kingdom. So, resilience and determination of Asian and his men to indigenize the Christian faith in Nigeria. Celebrated statement made about almost 70 years ago, expressing desire of his countrymen to take the country for Christ, is still potent. And it was when he made the statement which we just talked about. Now, indigenous efforts are propagating the gospel church. Planting campaigns, mission works, radio and TV evangelism. These are the means through which the church has spread in Nigeria. This morning, during breakfast, we heard a lot about the World Bible School. Those of you who were not there, you missed a lot. I wish you were there. In Nigeria, we are about 180 million people in population. And so many people are hungry for the truth. Nigeria is made up of two major religions, Christianity and Islam. In the northern part of Nigeria, you have a preponderance of Islam, and that is where you have the very frightening Boko Haram that you've been hearing about in the northeastern part of Nigeria. And with the World Bible School, the areas that you thought could never be reached in Nigeria have been penetrated by the WBS, and have so many students all over who are on the correspondence course. And then the arrival of the first set of missionaries in November 1952 with intense training Bible program in Ikotosen, where the church was first planted, in Ibiono Ibom, in Akwa Ibom State. That is where they started the offshoot of so many Bible teaching schools. Those who arrived in the pioneering days were families of Patrick Cotton, Jimmy Johnson, Robert Eugene Pedding, and Nevis H. Ufad. I wish Henry were to be here this morning. These are the foot soldiers from America who helped the initial planting of churches in their immediate environment in the southeastern part of Nigeria, especially the south-south. These men that you have had went ahead and registered the Church of Christ for the first time in 1955 in Nigeria. In my country, if your church is, you don't have a church, a registered a church with board of trustees in place, what you are doing is clearly illegal. Mm-hmm. And you are working against the government of the day. But these people had the foresight. In 1955, they registered the Church of Christ. And that is what we've been building upon today. As you heard, Brassam, with all humility, I'm the chairman of the Board of Trustees, and all churches of Christ in Nigeria are under this umbrella. And we know that in other countries, like in America here, churches register with the government individually, and some even do it in other places. But there is a danger there. In my country, we have some churches of Christ in different locations that are creating problems for the Church of Christ in our country. In some churches, you'll find them teaching doctrines that are clearly outside what we know in the Church of Christ. For instance, there is a church in Akwa Ibom whereby if you come to worship in the morning, you are expected to circle the church building 7 times before you can enter the building. And even when you enter the building, there will be some people who are armed with broom, bunch of broom, that would want to exorcise you and say, oh, you are a witch or you are a wizard, and they would either they push you out of the church that you cannot worship on that day, and so many terrible things they have, and they wear the name Church of Christ. Now, for somebody who is an unbeliever who has worshipped in the true Church of Christ, if he or she goes to this same type of church that wears the same name, Church of Christ, it is dangerous for the body of Christ, because people will believe this is what the Church of Christ is like, whereas we don't believe in that. So part of the responsibilities of the Board of Trustees is to ensure that such a thing does not happen in the body of Christ. So we fight it out, maybe go to the law courts to ensure that these people that are doing unethical things and say it's the Church of Christ, they are disallowed from wearing the name Church of Christ. So many churches in Nigeria today, in the churches of Christ, they have started imbibing Pentecostal values, and so many things are happening. But the Church of Christ, Board of Trustees, try as much as possible to regulate. So, having said that, these early foot soldiers of Christ in Nigeria who are Americans, they were the ones that led to ensure that Bible colleges came on board, and with that we have so many Bible colleges today. But the flagship of all the Bible colleges in Nigeria was the one called the one that started in the Upo. It is called Nigerian Christian College. We'll see it in a moment. That is Nigerian Christian Bible College, which is the flagship of that. And it was established in 1954. NCBC started as part of the response to the Essence Call for Teachers to teach him and his compatriots in order to take Nigeria for the true gospel. These are some of the structures on the ground as of today. Unfortunately, it's not very clear here, because I asked the technicians why. They gave me some reasons, but I wish to have clearer. This is the entrance. I guess some of you may have been to this place. Sam, you've been there?
Yeah, Nancy and I've been there.
Ah, okay, great. So these are the first Bible college in Nigeria. I understand this was the very first building in that complex. The missionaries from it was the spread of the God of the Word of God and the need for preachers to nurture the growing Nigerian churches that eventually led to the establishment of affirmation institutions. Well, here we're going to just see a number of Nigerians and even some Ghanaians who were the first students of CBC. As you see there, we have Okon Pong, who now runs a very big school in New York, Nigeria. Samuel Obeng of GBC Ghana, Stephen Okronkwo, DNA Langwe, Fred Ayasa, David, Benjamin Obeifu, Kofi Anajaye from Togo, Prince Ivanos Chukwu Emmanuel, Prince Ndoechi, and Barnabas Okoro, just to mention a few. the efforts of these men and others will have great impact for the Lord in the regions they serve. Several of the faculty members of the Bible colleges and ministries are now leaders across West Africa and some parts of Africa. Brother John, is Samuel Ben still alive?
He's still alive.
Still alive?
Yeah.
Must be an elderly man now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sure Dr. Gerson Temi at DBC was the president for.
This, I think, where are the technical people? This thing is not properly. Where we are, the figures we are seeing here, it is dealing with Nigerian Christian Hospital. Nigerian Christian Hospital at Lagos. Sometimes the place is called Onitsha Ugwa. The hospital has improved many lives. It started like a health center and has grown to a big hospital. Different kinds of medical problems are handled in the hospital. The figures below show the number of lives touched by the Nigerian Christian Hospital from 2011 to 2016. Now, if you see the figure in 2011, 18,729 patients, outpatients. And look at what it is also last year. Just for you to know how people's lives have been touched. And what they have done is that the unbelievers in the environment where the church is, both the drugs they are giving and the consultancy fees are all subsidized just so to encourage them so that they know that the Lord is in their lives. So you can compare the figures and see how many lives this hospital is touching in that environment. That is the entrance to the hospital. Part of the structures in the hospital. Sam, I don't know whether you've been there also.
Yeah.
Still some of the structures. Now, this is the School of Biblical Studies in Jos, in Plateau State. The School of Biblical Studies was founded in August of 1989. It has both academic and evangelism programs that are aimed at roots of the gospel and the kingdom of Christ here on earth. Its academic programs include BA in Ministry, BA in Christian Religious Studies affiliated to the University of Jos, Diploma in Ministry, Certificate in Ministry. The evangelism programs include weekly, weekend, practical evangelism training, annual campaigns for Christ, annual leaders, teachers, workshop, and session of training. I would like to emphasize that the SBS in Jos, just like the SCBC in the South, is the flagship of the Bible colleges in the northern part of the country. And because it is in the northern part, this institution has helped to penetrate the northern part, which is predominantly a Muslim population. And they are forever in the field. And with them, with this college, so many souls have been won to Christ. This is an example of students and staff ready for evangelism for Christ. See them getting ready for campaign for Christ. Now, through the school's evangelism, many souls got converted and many congregations established, particularly outside that. Through her international graduates and missionary skill, it has impacted on the growth of the gospel in the following countries: Liberia, Chad, Niger Republic, Cameroon, Uganda, which is in East Africa, South Sudan, Zimbabwe, and Bangladesh. What they have done here is that most of the students from these countries went back home and they started the school of preaching on their through the assistance of American support and the school. And so you can see that the gospel is spreading to most of these countries, which ordinarily will not be the case. This is baptism in place when they went for evangelism. Now, the next slide here has to do with the West Nigeria Christian College and School of Biblical Studies in Abeokuta. It's in the western part of Nigeria, and it's again about the only college that has been making so much impact in terms of the gospel in this part of the country. Our graduates are serving throughout the six geopolitical zones of Nigeria, and the graduates have been sent to countries like Benin Republic, Ghana, and Liberia. Apart from these other countries that they have been sent to, back home in Nigeria, they have impacted so much in parts of the South and North Central, like Edo State, Delta State, Kwara State, and Kogi States, through the annual preachers and church leaders workshop, annual youth retreat, annual Bible lectureship. It is also blessed with a state of the art center, as you can see there. So, these are some of their graduates. These are most of the things they do in the WNCC. Now, where we are now is the mission work in Uganda. We have a family known as Nkem Priest Okwe, who was the first missionary to be sent to Uganda in 2003. And he had done so much, so many souls have been won in Uganda, especially through his prison ministry, where we see that 74 inmates were baptized in these areas that have been mentioned. He also has a campus ministry at the Kampala International University, and so on and so forth. can see the offshoot of a small congregation that is just starting in Uganda. And brother and sister, okay, are the ones that this is the man, this is the wife. You can see the improvised method of baptism, which they have to fall back on. And this is a church that is just starting makeshift, just so that the gospel will reach the lost souls in that part of Uganda. See a new church in Kirungu after worship. Now, where we are now, this slide, this specifically with how the gospel has spread to the French-speaking countries of Africa. And
excuse me, they're the blue ones, right? The blue part.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right, thank you. This, the blue patches are the French speaking countries of Africa. And because of language barriers, the American missionaries do not speak French. Mm-hmm. And so it is difficult for them to be able to take the gospel to these parts of the of the continent. And the French-speaking countries of Africa are made up of about 250 million people. And now, there is a vessel whom God has used to change all this. You soon see his picture. His name is Brother George Padley. So, by the grace of God, in 1995, two Bible schools were begun in Ivory Coast and the Republic of Benin. And in between them, most schools have trained more than 200 gospel preachers for the French-speaking people of Africa. Ordinarily, as I said, you cannot easily penetrate the French-speaking. But the students, these over 200 graduates that have passed through these two schools, they go back home and they are able to preach to their own people. And so many souls have no one to Christ. And as you can see, the countries that are heavily Islamic in population that have now been penetrated include the Republic of Chad, the Republic of Mali, the Republic of Burkina Faso, of course, Niger is the Niger Republic, Gabon, Guinea, Conakry, the Central African Republic, and others. And this was made possible through these student preachers. So, this is the vessel whom God has used to penetrate the French-speaking countries of West Africa, especially. His name again is Dr. George Pabli. He is a Ghanaian national, but he decided to learn how to speak French, and from there, he became so proficient in French language that he's able to penetrate this country. Sam, what is the time? You can see what is the time.
You've got 10 minutes.
Only 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
So, as I said, he is a Ghanaian, but he's doing wonderful work here and the French speaking countries of Africa. So please pray for him. Yesterday, or day before yesterday, the day before yesterday, when Brother John spoke, we had mentioned another wonderful Ghanaian, Dr. Douglas Boateng. He has been wonderful in the spread of the gospel in West Africa, and especially the French-speaking countries. So I would rather not repeat what Brother John said during his own presentation. But we have a lot of challenges, and they are mainly Pentecostalism. In Nigeria, the rate at which Pentecostal churches are growing is frightening. Mm-hmm. They are all over. And then, of course, syncretism, fusion of diverse religious beliefs and practices, and African traditional religion. In my country, so many people, so many men are polygamists, and so they resist anything that has to do with marrying one wife. Of course, we have Islam, that is a major barrier to the spread of the gospel. So, these are some of the problems for the country. The way forward lies in preaching the whole counsel of, whole counsel of God, and teaching a balanced theology, discouraging unscriptural practices of Pentecostalism, abhorrence in syncretism, proclaiming the superiority of the gospel over principalities and powers, ignore the debate of traditional religious practices, and overcome challenges from Islam. The challenges, notwithstanding, the parable of the mustard seed teaches of the resilience of the kingdom where there is will, power, and determination. The tiny mustard seed literally grew to be a tree which attracted numerous birds because they loved the little black mustard seed it produced. God's kingdom works in a similar fashion. It starts from the smallest beginnings in the hearts of men and women who are receptive to God's word. And you know, it started with SMI. So, when we yield to Jesus Christ, our lives are transformed, and the power of the Holy Spirit will put this in us. Such is the story of the churches of the Church of Christ in Nigeria. The story is not peculiar to Nigeria, it is the story of what the world is doing across of its current Africa. Now, just a few picture narratives of some of the works in Nigeria. This is Sorbonne University. It's owned by a brother, so it is used also to propagate the gospel, just like Northport and the Heritage Universities in Ghana are doing. So that is just the approach to the university. It is located in the south-south, in Akwa Ibom. We are in class here. This worship in one of the federal capital territories. This is Kubwa. By our congregation in Abuja, not far from where I worship. This is a temporary worship place in a new environment called Jahi in Abuja as well. Now, they are trying to start a small congregation. This is the that is the small structure that is coming up. This is a worship in one of the live congregations in Nyanya, in Ezra chapter 33. And the next slide is where I worship. This is our building. This is worship in progress. Worship in progress. Worship in progress. That's my wife sitting here. Yes, the children are with. This is just to round up one of.
Very well.
Just wanted to introduce him so all of you will know she's here, and also Dr. Chi from Nigeria.
Yeah. Dr. Chi Ekwenye runs the Susanna Homes of Right Steps in Aba, Nigeria, close to Aba town. So glad to have them as well. And Dr. Henry Farrar. Started the church. Started the hospital, Nigeria Christian Hospital.
So if I missed that, I'm sorry. I should have said that.
Very good. Any questions that you have?
Augustine, ask a question.
Yeah.
I'm just adding to it. The Nigerian work is very significant for us because Nigeria was where the work first started, and then. When the broom and Saul made a road trip to Ghana to work with the first missionaries there and to start the work there. So we always look up to Nigeria for a lot of inspiration, and they are ahead in a lot of things. If you look at the numbers in Nigeria, they are more than we are in Ghana. And so it's just great to see his leadership. And also to comment a little bit about the registration. The registration is not to make us a denomination, but it is required by law that in every country you register so that you have a group of people who will interface with the government. Being a member of parliament in Ghana, we have a lot of money we give to churches to run their schools, to run their hospitals. Mm-hmm. If you come right now and build a clinic in Ghana, the government of Ghana will pay all your staff for you to run the private clinic. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's the Ghana Christian Association. So but you have to be a member, you have to be a group. You can't go there and say Church of Christ in New York, Church of Christ in California. No. All of you will be a group. Then you interface with the government.
Right.
So that role is very important. He doesn't claim to be the head of the church in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. The church has too much problem for one man to want to be the head. Yeah, there's too much glory also to want to be the head. So, brother, thank you very much. He has come to Ghana and help us with so many things, and we just have a lot of respect for his hard work and continue on with the good
thank
work.
Thank you so much.
Any other questions you'd like to ask? I would like to ask, how many Churches of Christ are you estimate, if you don't have exact figures, in Nigeria?
Yeah, that is the challenge we have had. This issue of the Board of Trustees, which Brother Augustine just talked about, there are some churches that are vehemently against the registration of churches or being going along with the Board of Trustees. So they make it impossible. They do not cooperate with the Board of Trustees. So they are scattered all over, and it is difficult for them to cooperate and tell us. Even if you go there to worship with them, they are suspicious about you. Even as brother to brother.
Yeah.
So we have difficulty in knowing. And when I was preparing to come here, I knew that this would come up, and I made efforts. But I didn't want to come here and founder and then give a figure that I cannot defend.
Right.
What we've done is that recently, a body, a database committee has been set up, and they are working assiduously so that they will come up with the exact. Even these other people that do not want to cooperate with us, we have worked out the way out, how to reach out to them. Mm-hmm. Let them know that it has nothing to do with autonomy or no autonomy, because the one word that is so terribly abused in Nigeria is the word autonomy. You cannot even cooperate with a sister congregation autonomy. You can't invite somebody to come and join you to evangelize an area autonomy. Everything autonomy. So with that,
and it's not found in the Bible.
It's not found in the Bible. Thank you. You can't find that in the Bible. So we have that difficulty, and I don't want to stand there and give a figure that I cannot defend, because in my modest position as the Board of Trustee Chairman, whatever I say will be taken as authority, and I don't want to do that.
Okay. Yes.
Well, I'm intrigued by the number of French-speaking countries in Africa. That was something I wasn't aware of. So have you tried to recruit people from either French part of Canada or from France to come as missionaries to those areas?
Well, you know, we have to start from somewhere.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what I do know is that even this effort that has been made, it is the American churches that have helped this far. Because they are supporting the work in Nigeria in every respect. We have some other advanced and developed democracies in the world, like France and the United Kingdom and Canada and all that. We can't say what Nigeria stands to gain from the American brethren. In terms of the growth of the church, we can't even say anything in favor of these countries. America has been at the forefront, and actually, the Africans claiming Africa for Christ is an initiative for us to look inwards, and let us ask ourselves: will the American support be there for us? The answer is no. I mean, there are other parts of the world that are crying for the gospel. The Eastern Bloc, the Chinese angle, and the rest of it, they have done so much for us. And by now, we should be able to stand on our feet. And that's what we are trying to do.
Mm. Thank you. That's great. We're glad to hear that. That spirit is there to rise up. Let Africa arise. Because actually, they can communicate so much better with their cultures.
And in that regard, Rassam, of course, the history in that regard can never be complete without him. He is one American I personally respect, because he's a hard fighter, and he's taking after his parents, so it's not surprising.
Thank Thank you very much. One more question, and we need to let people go.
Just a comment. In Lyon, France, I know that there's a missionary who has made trips to Africa, mm-hmm. Preaching and teaching, mm-hmm. and there are others that might have. He's visited in the Caribbean, he's visited in Africa, and held gospel meetings and helped in evangelism. But then the other side is that in France, there are people from Nigeria who are being converted and worshiping for a while at churches in France and then coming back.
Yeah.
And so that connection there is an important one for people who have been leaders in the business world and in government who are coming in contact with our churches there. And many of their converts are Africans in Lyon. Not Frenchmen, but Africans.
Yes.
From these French-speaking countries. So I'll share with you later his address.
Thank you.
And you can perhaps network with the other.
Thank you for that information.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dr. Bruce Smith. Thank you all for being here. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I know it has a happy